from 104.5 The Zone, this is the Midday 180. Queued up by Edley's Barbecue with Jonathan Hutton, Chad Withrow, and Paul Kuharski.
We are back and ready to go. Midday 180, queued up by Edley's Barbecue. Paul is stretching his arms above the camera on his computer as he broadcasts live from Brentwood. I'm Jonathan Hutton in Murfreesboro. David Reed is the chairman of the board in Nashville. Chad Withrow returns next week off of furlough. We are ready. Paul, what's up, man? Good morning.
Got to get that last stretch in. Same. To be ready to go. So there it was, and now here I am. What an adventure I had yesterday, Hunt. if there was a video camera on me, this would somebody could blackmail me. Probably. This was so. I kind of looked around. So yesterday after the show, go ahead.
Reed, just a quick poll question as we set this story up to begin. Did you, if I said Paul de-pantsed, do you think I'm talking about Paul himself or something else?
Now, I would assume that he de-pantsed someone.
I de-pantsed something. I
beg your pardon.
Even weirder. So getting ready for this trip, I'm doing my due diligence with Teresa's automobile. I go to get some new tires. By the way, the whole world is always getting new tires. The place
the
I
time.
Go, there is a constant.
There's always a way.
Stream. I get there at like 2:30. The guy sets me up with the whole deal, but he's not ready for me till 4 o'clock. So I go to grab something to eat. It's raining like crazy by the time I come out. I've got to stall for a little bit. And then I'm close to Macy's. I'm close to the mall. I need bathing suits. I'm about to go on vacation. So I think, well, I've got a half an hour. I could run into Macy's and look for a bathing suit or two. So first off, Macy's is like Macy's bathing suit section is like a war zone. There are no like new bathing suits. Like there are no like incoming, like here are the hot new bathing suits. It's all clearance. Like every bathing suit, A, looks like it was a huge mistake that they ordered it and it's 60% off. But they're like, you're looking, okay, great, 60% off. But there's not, there, every one of them is an absolute eyesore. It's like, you know, it's not like 60% off because like they're trying to unload the bathing suit.
And
it's 60% off because no one would ever buy this bathing suit.
And are they all like laid out on a table or something?
No,
or
they're all on racks, but the sizes are all messed up and everything. So I'm quickly looking through this and I'm thinking if there's one bathing suit here, I'm going to be interested in it. It's going to be a miracle. And there are no workers around and there's nobody around at all. So I'm looking, but everything is pretty much 60% off. So if I find a bathing suit, it's going to be like between $20 and $25. And yeah, that's pretty damn good, right? So I'm not finding anything. But then I come upon these three mannequins. And one of the mannequins has a pretty decent bathing. It's like it's a loud splash. I'll send you a picture. It's not really me, but, you know, it's one of those loud, like, blue and blue-green splash of everything kind of bathing suits. And I'm like, yeah, you know, for a loud bathing suit, that's pretty good. And for $20 to $25, I could wear this. And so first off, I'm inspecting the bathing suit on the mannequin to make sure that it's a large. This, I don't see this bathing suit anywhere else, and I certainly don't see a large in it.
Last one left.
And so I kind of look around to make sure nobody is around to see me do ill to this mannequin. And then I pants the mannequin. but he's just got a bump in his private area, of course, and I'm doing it from behind. But So I've got the bathing suit to the ground, and the one foot is very easy. It's, you know, can just slide it off the foot, but the other foot is connected to the base and it's very problematic. You can't slip the leg over the base because the base is too wide, and the base has like a, metal arm, not an arm, if you will,
like a stand.
Yeah, and you have to unscrew that to get it done. But the leg connection seems like that's too complicated to get done. So I play with the mannequin's mechanisms for a little while to try to get it undone, and I can't get it undone. So I give up, and I go to look for help. Hopefully unseen. If this is on video somewhere, like if security's looking at this, it'd be classic.
Ray, showed up somewhere. We have to find this.
Oh, this would be tremendous. Hopefully it washes away every 24
hopefully
hours.
It's not like our parking lot and they have working cameras.
Yeah, no, it's like our parking lot. I got punched in the head, but there's no evidence. So I go to find help. Now, finding help at this Macy's at this time is very difficult. I almost went up to three different people to ask for help before looking closely enough to determine that they did not work at Macy's. I finally find a guy. I'm sympathetic to the guy. He looks absolutely miserable. Like you would picture somebody that's wearing a mask, working at Macy's, seemingly covering like the entire men's department. Seems he's kind of a small dude, seems very tired, maybe late 30s, early 40s. When I speak with him, he seems absolutely exhausted and broken. and so it's not with great joy that I say, excuse me, I need a little help getting a bathing suit off a mannequin. And so he kind of trudges over there with me, and I kind of point at the bathing suit.
Simon, ball froze up.
Yeah, Simon back on Fortnite.
Yeah, Simon back on Fortnite.
Yeah, I am connected. He tries to do all the things, all the things that I tried to do, and then he kind of tells me to take the mannequin down, to lay him down. So now this mannequin looks like he's dead, and this guy
he didn't ask finally to straddle.
Yeah, straddle the mannequin. Undoes the whole mannequin and everything and throws me the bathing suit. And then I say, where's the fitting room? So there's potential that he's gone through this whole episode. We've gone through this whole episode and I'm not going to buy the bathing suit. Right. So I go try it on. It actually fits. Okay. I send Teresa and Simon pictures. They give me thumbs up and I go, and this guy gets a $25 sale out of me. And I in fact bought the mannequin bathing suit after defancing him.
And then the scraps of the mannequin left for him to clean up.
Yes. Yeah, so I went back and he didn't really put it back together. He just kind of balanced it on the little thing. So I do have
just
a picture.
Leaned it up against a wall.
I do have a picture. I didn't take a full frontal. but I do. I will tweet out a picture of the mannequin de-pantsed.
Yes, please do. And we can see what Paul is up to yesterday. So this all stems from you ordering something online that's not going to arrive in time, right?
Well, I did while I was waiting on the tires order two.
And I think Paul just did it again, Reed. So, you know, as a show, we hate pauses.
One bait.
Like the long, Paul, you broke up again for a moment. I'm explaining something. So we hate dead air, like these awkward pauses on radio shows you can hear practically anywhere. And the thing about Skype and Zoom and broadcasting from home that makes it so irritating for me is I cannot tell if the pause is on my end or Paul's end at any point. And yeah, it makes for terrible radio. It bugs me. And sorry, that's my little soapbox.
It's frustrating. So I ordered two other bathing suits. They're supposed to show up today. So no worries. I'll be outfitted at the beach. But the initial order I made that was a bunch of dry fit clothes and everything that was supposed to arrive on Friday, I got a message that said, sorry, your order's been delayed. It'll be delivered on Saturday, which mm-hmm. really works out well for me because I'll be gone.
Paul
customer
will not be there.
Service. at its best.
But he will have one of the maids in the home make sure that they get that off the porch and they bring it into the house while the Kaharskis are away.
Or a neighbor.
Or the neighbor, that's right. 615-737-1045, our number. We give out the number at the beginning of the show. It's going to be jam-packed throughout today. Stephen Godfrey will join us in the second half of the show. He'll be on around 12:20. A lot to discuss today with Godfrey in the return-to-play scenarios for college football and the discussions that the top ADs are having about the return chances to be on time versus if they're discussing pushing the season back, just playing a conference schedule. We'll discuss those options with Godfrey. That's coming up at 12:20. One question, two answers in the 1 o'clock hour today. And Paul, Hojo is on the show. Howard Johnson from the Mets.
Howard Johnson, part of that 1986 team that I struggled to watch beat the Red Sox. Who's a Nashvilleian to a degree, has a business out here in the Cool Springs area where Simon sometimes hits baseballs. And they also run some youth teams that Simon's 500 against this season. Look forward to chatting with him. It'll be a lot of fun to reminisce about that 86 team and find out what's going on with him.
And he was most recently the hitting coach for the Nashville Sounds in 2019. Last night was funny, Reed. We tested with him on Skype, and we could not get a connection made at first because he could not see me trying to chat with him on Skype. I don't know if it's a privacy setting or what it is, but the other terrible thing about Skype is you can't explain to anybody how to go in and change anything about the working mechanisms of this thing. So, you know, we're at the mercy of the person holding the phone, figuring it out on their own. Well, finally, I remember, I'm like, well, let me just see if this link will work. And so we send him the link, and he pops in, and this is after 20 minutes of trying to connect with him. And the first thing Paul ends up saying to him is, man, you do not look your age.
He didn't. I was expecting him to be grayer and older. 86 was a long time ago.
Yeah,
he was incredibly patient with us last night as we figured it all out, which will make for a better interview today. Because yes. Skype is always better than the phone. And I'm going to be better after we break here because I'm going to do some reconnecting. And I don't think Simon's back on Fortnite, but I'm going to go see what's going on in the house.
Also, Kirby Allen Kirby will be with us following our visit with Coach Mac. Coach Mac joins us next. Midday 180, queued up by Italy's Barbecue, 104.5 The Zone. Coach Mack with us, the 180 queued up by Edley's Barbecue. Always love having Dave McGinnis on the show Thursdays right here on Midday 180. He was listening during the first segment as Paul described practicing Brazilian jiu-jitsu on the mannequin at Macy's, trying to de-pants the mannequin so he could try on the large bathing suit he can take to the beach. Luckily for the attendant that was helping Paul, he did in fact purchase those swim trunks.
The tweet is out. You can see the embarrassed mannequin now at Midday 180.
Mac, your thoughts?
The absolute best ever. That's one of the best openings ever. And you know, I'm fairly new to the radio game. You know, going into my fourth or fifth year, however long this is. But you know, and the great thing about it is, here's what I want. Really bad. I want that video from Macy's, and that would be a whole nother segment. But to me, that was fantastic. And here's the thing: the problem with that is, you know, like you come on and you follow. Somebody gets up and you makes a great presentation, and then you have to follow it. How am I going to follow Paul taking the pants off a mannequin? Seriously, think about it.
Reed is already on the phone trying to get his hands on this video.
Do you want to see the bathing suit as well? Do people want to see the bathing suit?
For sure.
People always crush a bathing suit, right?
But that's
okay. Hutton said they're always loud no matter what, but people always crush the loud bathing suit.
Well, I mean,
until you get to the beach.
Yeah.
No, right. I mean, that's the bathing suit. The best part about it, well, here's what I like. I liked your tenacity of being able to check the size on a mannequin's bathing suit. I mean, I would never have thought of that. It was ingenious. But then when you start talking about, you know, trying to manipulate the mannequin's mechanism, then I started to wonder a little bit what was happening.
Dave, I had to check it in two places. I looked at the waistband in the back. And there was no tag there. And then I had to find the tag hanging out of the pocket at the left hip.
It's just an outstanding story all the way around. Yeah.
He had a thorough examination from me.
So, Mac, you mentioned trying to follow that story. You mentioned trying to follow that story. Imagine being Kirby Allen Kirby, who will follow this hour. He's scheduled to be with us at 11 a.m. today.
Well, he can follow it now, but to me, as soon as I popped in, you asked me what I thought, you know, when we were still off the air, and I said, Kirby Allen Kirby all the way. I mean, it's just fabulous. I can't wait to hear Kirby's take on this story.
I guarantee you, he's deep pants and mannequins in his life.
Well,
what do you think, Paul?
Oh, he's done worse.
He'll try to talk. whether he has or not, he will try to top the story. I promise.
Yeah, he'll have a story.
Let's be honest. He lost his virginity with a mannequin.
Coach Mack with us. He's presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans. Healthcare coverage from Farm Bureau Health Plans, like an extra set of pads when you need them the most. They've been protecting Tennesseans since 1947. They're online at fbhp.com. Mac, let's get right to it. The players wanting the option for the opt-out year. Again, just the option, but there are layers to this that we need to discuss with the opt-out year. If a player chooses to take it, they also want that to count towards their contract headed towards free agency. They don't want that year to just be placed on pause, for instance, and then pick up next year.
Yeah, I mean, and to me, I you know, in all my conversations around the league, you know, that was one of the things that popped up as far as being able to opt out. And first of all, I mean, they should have the ability to opt out, just as you see in all of these, you know, professional sports leagues. I mean, you have players that have already opted out, but what comes with it is what are the guidelines, you know, to they opt out. And of course, immediately, of course, you start with, and it said, I mean, and if you'll read, you know, what has been put out there, it says with no penalty. And that's as you call them, the layers, Hut, that you need to start peeling back as far as no penalty. Does no penalty mean that, you know, first of all, it's not like they're cut, you know, which it should not be. The next thing you go to is, well, does this year count? Because in the National Football League, having years count towards your vesting ability, you know, is huge. Just because your career does not last as long in the National Football League as it does in quite a few other of the professional sports. And the other thing is then you're talking about, you know, contract ramifications. And so all of those things, I think all of those things are the layers that they are talking about right now. And also the league, and I think this is fair too, the league does want a hard date, you know, as far as to when you're able to opt out, because to me, that's very important too. You know, first of all, you know, for the players, I think that's important so that they have a hard date as to when they make a decision, whether they're going to opt out or not. And then plus for the club, because they've got to make a decision as far as about replenishing a roster. So there are several layers to this other than just saying, yes, you can opt out with, and to me, the whole thing that has to be developed and the whole thing that has to be investigated very deeply is the clause that says with no penalty. What does that entail? To me, that's very important, and I think we'll see those details coming up pretty shortly.
We've discussed a lot of different scenarios over the last few months about what coaches and organizations will have to adjust to on the fly. And a lot of that discussion has stemmed from what happens if a player tests positive for COVID-19. But even before the players would report for training camp, we would have this opt-out deadline, theoretically. And the players that opt out will force general managers across the league to adjust their rosters. And there will be some starters across the league that will choose to do this.
Well, I mean, I would think so. I mean, especially when you're talking about, and again, and there would be various reasons to opt out, and which, I mean, sure. You've read about the other, major, professional leagues across it. If you yourself have some underlying conditions, because, these young athletes have some underlying conditions too. Also, your family members, what's your family situation at home? What's your previous medical history, or just saying, I don't feel comfortable doing this, but this is all going to have to be very much delineated and spelled out before a player makes that decision. And you're 100% right in saying this, the hard deadline, because, as a club, because really, when you start looking at it, I mean, the club has to be able to do something with their roster because they are moving ahead. And we all know, guys, once this thing starts and you get into it, the major objective, as it always has been and always will be, is to win ball games. And to do that, being able to manage a roster at any time is of primary importance, but especially in these very, very unusual weeks that we're going to have coming up.
It's a lot more of a cutthroat league, though, Dave. And the thing is, if you're not a star player that a team's going to wait on, if you raise your hand and say, hey, I need to stay home, whether it's out of your own concerns, whether, look, we're judgy, so people are going to question, if you have an at-risk wife or child, people will be a lot more sympathetic. If you're more cautious, people will be probably less sympathetic. But if you're a middling player and you take this chance, the league tends to move right past you. And so it'll be nice when you reemerge last year, but there's also going to be a guy in your spot.
Well, that's 100% true. And so those are all, those are all the decisions that clearly a player would have to weigh. And then, facing the reality of not only the reality of why you would opt out, but the reality of what, could happen, if you do, as far as career-wise. And that's why I came out there and said, very quickly, and look, I spent over half my adult life in the National Football League, so I very well know how the league works. I mean, and so to me, what's very, very important is that you have to have all the facts and the ramifications and everything spelled out very clearly, before you make this, important decision. And so, I mean, that's, to me, think about this, guys. Everything that this new territory that we've all stepped in the National Football League and in professional sports and really sports in general in this country since this pandemic showed up in March, just think about the things that we're having to make decisions on today that we never even thought, even those of us that are very experienced in this league. And I count myself among the top of those people because I've just been doing it for so long. And you think, about all the decisions that you would have to make. None of us would have thought that we would be presented with some of the decisions that everybody's going to have to make now.
There have been reports on the notifications and emails and letters sent from the league to general managers about training camp regulations. Help me visualize what this will look like when it says that, of course, the locker room needs to be separated 6 feet, social distancing guidelines in effect. I read that, but I also read where virtual meetings will take place where possible. And if team meetings are taking place, that would need to be done outside. So does that mean right after practice you would effectively go home and then join a team meeting virtually?
Well, I think a lot of it depends on what your geography is, as to where you are, as far as what your setup is. I mean, let's just take the Titans, for instance. Their team hotel where people, you know, usually stay during camp. You know, it's not very far from the facility. Okay, so are you able to get back to the team hotel to be able to, you know, to be able to do a Zoom meeting, or would you set your meetings later so that if your players are allowed to go home, that they would go home and do these Zoom meetings? Would you send them home with food, you know, after practice, because they're clearly not going to go home for a Zoom meeting and then come back to pick up food? And of course, you know, and that brings up the whole dynamic of how are you going to feed your team? You know, and because clearly, I mean, you know, they just built a magnificent, you know, last year, you know, put the finishing touches on a magnificent dining hall. Well, you're not going to have, you know, I mean, you know, with buffet lines and with, you know, beautiful salad bars and self-serve, you know, everything sitting out. That's not going to be a protocol anymore in the National Football League. It's all going to be, you know, very, very clearly monitored. And so to me, that just is the tip of the iceberg, Jonathan, talking about, you know, how the meetings were. You talk about being socially distanced in a building. Okay, now, you know, especially if you have, and the number looks like more, it's going to be 80 now instead of 90. But even though, I mean, that's still a big number. Is everybody starting out when you show up? Is everybody going to be there at once for the first part of this? Or are you going to have your players come in, you know, are they going to come in different waves? Are they going to come in different waves and be able to have cleaning in between? I mean, there is so much to this. And as I said, the operations departments and those people that really have to be able to put boots on the ground to get this stuff figured out, Brent Akers, Chris Matusak are some of the best I've ever been around in the league. But this is a very, very challenging time. I mean, just start to think of all the things that you would have to have. Just think a minute about just cleaning supplies and COVID. And COVID, you know, specific cleaning supplies that you are going to have a huge amount of for that, you know, for that amount of time. And think about the restrictions on how many people can be in the building at one time. I mean, you're going to have the way the Titans building is set up. You're going to have some people that are upstairs that will never come downstairs. Because yeah. You know, they're going to have different zones in buildings. I mean, I've talked to people around the league that they're going to have different zones in building where, you know, there are some no-go zones for different tiers of people. This is going to be completely different, guys.
Coach Mack with us, presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans. Healthcare coverage from Farm Bureau Health Plans is like an extra set of pads when you need them the most. They've been protecting Tennesseans since 1947, and you can find them online at fbhp.com.
So we wanted to look ahead at the Titans' schedule this year, throw quarterbacks out of the mix, and ask Coach Mack for the five players that the Titans will have to spend the most time preparing for, that they will have to, quote-unquote, fear the most getting ready for this season. We're calling it Mack's Five to Fear. And he's starting right off on opening night with Denver, and he's starting right off by cheating and not naming one player. So Mac, hit us with what you've got for them to worry about, with the Broncos.
You know, first of all, you know, when you propose this idea, I mean, I really liked it because, you know, of course, everything that we've been doing in the off season, I've been doing a lot of it, but to propose something like this, I mean, it's thought provoking. And again, as I said, you know, I did cheat because then I started making up my own rules, you know, when you presented it. And to me,
which is good.
And to me, I give you great credit for being able to come up with something as innovative as this. While you're undressing a mannequin. I mean, it's simultaneous. Let's start with Denver. And the first thing that I thought, you know, when I heard, you know, the concept of this, and again, let's just say this. This is clearly, you know, a way out, you know, months before preview, just a snapshot look at just an immediate thought. It's not any deep dig into it. And we clearly know, and our listeners are sophisticated enough to know, football is a very interdependent game. It's not just one person of anything. Everybody's involved. But let's just start talking about some concepts. So if I'm just looking at Denver right now, and they say, okay, your opening game is Denver, the thing that goes to my mind, first of all, Vic Fangio got a head job at 60, his first head job at 60 plus years old, because he has been a magnificent defensive coordinator for years in the National Football League. And as a head coach, you know, when he's trying to be successful, he has leaned on that defensive expertise, you know, so far in his regime as a head coach. And so to me, with an opening game, the thing that I would first of all think about, what kind of a problem is Vic Fangio going to present to me, and the people he would present it with would be his pressure package. And so immediately I go to Von Miller, Bradley Chubb, and then the addition of Jarrell Casey. How is that going to maneuver what he's going to do with his pressure package? How is he going to maneuver his fronts? How's he going to maneuver these different guys in different positions? And then how can we attack them to be able to at least lessen the impact of the pressure package with Von Miller, Bradley Chubb, and now the addition of Jarrell Casey.
And you describing that, I immediately think, now imagine going against that without any preseason games whatsoever as an offensive line.
Well, and they have no preseason either. I mean, and so you know that.
Yeah.
But the thing that you do have, Jonathan, and again, if we want to dig deeper into it, you've got a lot of evidence on tape of what Vic Fangio does schematically. I mean, it's not like he's somebody brand new that has just shown up with what's going on defensively. You know what I'm saying? Now, it's, you know, he's done it with different players, but you have a pretty good idea, because they will be very well versed on schematically what he has done in the past. Now it comes down to, can you handle the people he's doing with it now?
Max 5 to fear, and Paul, he followed the rules on his second mention here on the 5. Minnesota and running back Dalvin Cook is where you turn immediately, Coach Mac.
Yeah, that just comes to mind because to me, you know, he's a very, you know, a very good overall football player that you have to figure into when you're looking at defense, because he's a good dangerous runner. He's a guy. Look, and I remember, you know, vetting him when he was coming out of, you know, out of Florida State. I mean, you know, the speed doesn't just wow you, but the ability to cut, to get in the open field, to evade, and then he's always a positive yards guy. Not only running the football, he's a very innovative runner with the ball. He can also catch the football. You know, he had an injury his first year in the National Football League, but since then, you have seen a rising player, and it immediately goes to my mind, especially when you play them. Of course, you go and you think about Mike Zimmer's team, you know, him being a defensive coach also, you think about defense. This is a guy that helps Mike Zimmer play to some of the ways that he wants to play defense, with the ability that Dalvin Cook and the pressure that he puts on a defensive football team, both running the ball and then being a receiver from various different spots.
We'll get Mac's other three coming up. Coach Mac with us, presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans. He's with us right here on your home for the Titans, 104.5 The Zone. Coach Mac with us, presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans. Mac, before we get back to the 5 to fear, tell us how you met Charlie Daniels.
He came up to do the OTP with us. He came up to do the OTP, you know, and he sat down with Mike Keith and Amy Wells before the three of us, you know, started on our segment of the OTP, and but when he came up, you know, he came up for is in the lobby because they were taping something before he got in there. So we just sat down there in the lobby at the Titans facility and just talked. I mean, you know, of course, I mean, it was a thrill for me because, you know, Charlie Daniels, you know, is a legend. I mean, he is a legend, and the things that you've read and you've heard, you know, since his passing away, I think it, you know, everybody universally says what a really good human being he was. I mean, that came through really quick when you sat down with him, just as down to earth and as genuine and as real as, you know, as you would want, and really, you know, a big fan. you know, a big fan, and was just, I mean, it was, I mean, I really thoroughly enjoyed spending time with him before he jumped on the OTP there in the facility with Mike Keith and Amy Wells.
Coach Max, five to fear, the non-quarterbacks he's listing that catch his eye and the players he would most have to prepare for after the quarterbacks on the Titans schedule in 2020. He's mentioned the pressure package out of the gate for Denver and Dalvin Cook, running back from Minnesota. And Coach Mack goes with Khalil Mack from the Chicago Bears. An easy choice here. When you throw out Chicago Bears, Khalil Mack comes to mind immediately.
Well, yeah. And again, I mean, you just look at the overall package. And of course, you know, every team's different every year. But I mean, that's what you think about immediately, you know, when you go in. And really, you know, when they got Khalil Mack, you know, with the huge trade they made, you know, they felt like he was the piece they needed to put them over the top, and then everything else around him collapsed. But he's still a magnificent player in this league, and he's a guy. He is a guy that can wreck a game, and he's done that. You know, he had a great reputation of production and of being able to do that before he was traded. He still got that in him, and so clearly, you know, when you just flip it on and you start saying, okay, we're going to play the Chicago Bears this weekend. All right, what are we going to do with Mack? And I think that immediately, you know, comes to your mind. And I like the caveat that Paul put in this when he proposed doing this, was that take the quarterbacks out of it, because it's very easy just to go to the quarterback being the linchpin on any team of what goes on. But to me, with the Bears, my mind immediately went to, without even investigating, you know, what else was going on for this year's version of the Bears, my mind immediately went to Khalil Mack.
Been a while since we've seen the Indianapolis offense and thought running backs, but they've got a stable of them now, Mac.
Well, yeah, you know, both Mac and look, and I thought, you know, Marlon Mack was one of the most underrated backs in the league. I mean, this guy's a load. But then, you know, when they drafted, you know, the rookie they drafted this year, Taylor, to me, that combination is going to be problematic. And again, I know we're talking about player or concepts, but look, when you take those two and you pair them with who they did bring in at quarterback, the way his game works, and then plus, I mean, I think we all can agree, you know, without being biased, but just being very objective when you look at it, the offensive line that they have put together up there in Indianapolis, these two running backs, Mack and Taylor, as a combo, as being able to be, you know, a left and a right combination that Frank Reich is going to be able to use to throw at you, paired with the capabilities and the game that is now very, very relevant to the quarterback that he has brought on, the veteran quarterback that he has brought on board. To me, that's something that you're going to have to concentrate on, because they can control a game with those two guys if they get it working right.
The Browns, Titans have been going to Cleveland a lot lately. This year, the Browns are coming to Nashville if all goes well. Myles Garrett has kind of drawn attention in the wrong way because of the incident against the Steelers. People may be forgetting just how good a pass rusher he is. You've got him on your list here as somebody the Titans are really going to have to work to be ready for. People can't sleep on what a good pass rusher he is.
No, and really, he's even more than that. I mean, he's a huge disruptor. I mean, this is a fabulous athlete. I mean, he really is. And some of the things that he can do, I mean, you can't coach. I mean, this guy was very special. I thought he was very special coming out of the draft, and then when he got, you know, into the National Football League, and he, you know, he was with Greg Williams was his coach his rookie year. And you know, of course, I've talked to Greg quite a bit, and Greg says this guy is as gifted at being able to pick up all the nuances of what goes on and then be able to physically do things earlier than a lot of people that he has seen. This guy's extremely gifted. And you know, he brought some attention to himself, clearly, with the whole incident, you know, during the Pittsburgh game with the helmet swing. Take all of that out of it. You've got a guy that you're going to have to pay attention to. And let's not discount this either, guys. I mean, he's probably going to be in line, and they're setting up, you know, to make him a contract offer that's going to make him a part of that team for a long time. And I think, you know, with what's now Cleveland, clearly they've got such a bad continuity record there, and such a dysfunctional, you know, front office type thing that has gone on there with, you know, all the coaching changes, all the regime changes, all the GM changes. I believe that this group they've got in place now, they recognize this guy is a real building block that they can use. And it's somebody that teams that play them are going to have to deal with down in and down out for quite a while. And they're going to make him that guy, you know, here pretty quick.
Coach Mack with us, presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans. Mack, recently with Greg Cosell on Wednesdays, we've had an evaluation of specific individual players from the Titans 2019 season. We've gone offense the recent weeks, but yesterday we turned our attention to defense. We mentioned Rashawn Evans and also Jeffrey Simmons. And in looking for a comparison of sorts for Simmons, we talked with Cosell yesterday about Haynesworth, but there is a player from the Arizona Cardinals from your time there that definitely reminds you of Jeffrey Simmons and would be a good comparison to discuss.
Yeah, I mean, and my mind immediately went to, because I go back, you know, quite a ways with players I've been involved with, but I mean, Eric Swan. And if our listeners don't remember who Eric Swan was, just Google him up and see. And look, Eric Swan would have been even much more a prominent name if he had played on any good teams. But this guy physically, I mean, he's 6'5", 317 pounds. You know, he was a number one pick, you know, by the Cardinals. And I mean, his last football that he played before he was picked in the top 10 in the first round by the Cardinals was with the Bay City Titans. Okay. Semi-pro league, because, you know, he couldn't get into North. He did not get into North Carolina State, highly recruited kid out of the Carolinas, could not get into North Carolina State, went to a very small local junior college, and then dropped out of there and then went to the Bay City Titans. And this guy was such a physical specimen. Guys, he was 6'5", about 317, 320 pounds when I had him to coach, could run, could do anything that you wanted him to do. I mean, he could manhandle, you know, single teams, double teams. I mean, he was so disruptive and so powerful. And when you look at what his stats were and his production when he played. But I mean, I was a defensive coordinator with Big Swanee, and he was a force to be reckoned with in this league. It was just a shame that he first of all, and again, the problem, again, as you can imagine, he had a lot of other issues going on that kept him from really being able to sit down and concentrate on a career. I mean, then got the big contract and had a lot of huge distractions thrown his way. But just talking about physical presence and physical dominance and being able to do some things that were so unusual for a man of his size, I mean, my mind immediately, you know, when I was watching Simmons and vetting him coming out a couple of years ago, my mind immediately went to that, because just the raw power and just the intense things that he could do as a big man brought me immediately back to Swanee. I thought Albert was a great comparison, but I wanted to go deeper, and I went back to Swanee just thinking, and I thought to myself, you know, if Eric Swan would have had the commitment and would have had the mindset that Jeffrey Simmons has, and the way that he's got his life aligned and the concentration that he's making on his craft, Eric Swan would have been a name that everybody would have immediately known when I brought it up.
Mack's going to stick around. We've got Kirby Allen. Kirby, just around the corner. But first, there is some news with Nashville SC. Speedway Soccer with this report that, just like FC Dallas, Nashville SC has been removed from the MLS's back tournament. They've had 9 positive cases for COVID-19. And to ensure the safety of the rest of the league, they've been withdrawn from the tournament, Paul. So they get down there, and they will now come home without even playing.
Disappointment for sure. We'll talk later about what we saw last night from Orlando and Miami, which was not very good, but it was American sports back in action. And
Nashville was going to be a part of that, and now they're not. And I don't know if anybody's at fault, if they were unlucky, or if they failed to follow protocols that could have kept them safer and could have kept the league safer. And maybe we'll get a chance to check in with Davey Shepard here to ask about that report and find some of those details, and we'll certainly read that report during our break.
Yep, Davey Shepard will join us around 11:45 this morning. But when we come back, Mac, Kirby Allen Kirby with the truth. He's going to retell the past to entertain the present. We always love these segments.
What a day this is. What a day this is for me on the radio. I mean, first of all, come up with a great topic to be able to talk about, you know, for our listeners to take to just at least get some mental gymnastics going on the season looking forward with the Titans on their opponents. A great idea by Paul. Then all of a sudden, you know, Paul's undressing a mannequin and he's modeling bathing suits. And then Kirby Allen Kirby, what more could I ask for on a Thursday morning?
We aim to please.
That's right. That's right. Kirby Allen Kirby with us next. But first, headlines from David Reed just around the corner. Midday 180 queued up by Edley's Barbecue, 104.5 The Zone.